So obviously we are not financial experts here, so we have one to talk to. Forbes financial columnist John Tamney is author of the book Who Needs the Fed? And he's in Savannah this weekend for the Savannah Book Festival. Hi, John.
Hey, thanks for having me on today.
So did we get everything basically right?
I thought some of it was correct. Some of it I would take issue with. First off, I think the notion of constant panic in the 19th century due to a lack of a central bank is belied by the basic truth that the U.S. economy boomed in the 19th century. We weren't the lucky recipients of striving people from around the world, risking their lives to get to the United States because we lacked a central bank and as such it descended into economic chaos. So I think that's a big reach. Were there financial panics in the 19th century?
There were a lot.
Of course they were. Well, of course they were. That's a sign of capitalistic health. It's economies gain strength from periods of weakness whereby bad actors are starved of capital so that it can be directed to higher uses. It's not as though panics have ended in the 20th century. The difference is government intervention, I would argue, and I think history is fairly clear here, has led to fairly major panics, and because of the intervention, the recovery has taken much longer to take place. There were panics, but the recessions were quick. Now we have longer downturns, and I would say it's related to too much government activity. I think we overstate the Fed's role in this.
Well, I mean, and fair enough, that's an opinion of an expert, although that is something that another economist would probably argue with you on. I mean, it's a subject of debate as to whether a centralized bank is helpful to the U.S. or is not, right?
I would freely acknowledge that most economists would say we desperately need a central bank, that the U.S. economy couldn't function without a central bank. I think I can fairly easy discredit that argument. I think my book makes fairly clear we don't need the Fed. And I say this from an angle of I don't think the Fed is all that awful. I just think its critics and supporters alike vastly overstate its power and role in the economy. But let's look at the Fed. Okay, it's a lender of last resort to solvent banks, or that's what it began as in 1913. But as we've seen since 1913, it's unheard of for a solvent, well-run bank to go to the Fed for a loan, which means the Fed has existed to prop up the weakest banks in the system that could not get a loan in the free marketplace.
And you don't agree that there's such a thing as a bank that is too big to fail?
Oh, definitely not. I think that if you look at U.S. banks relative to the rest of the world, our largest banks are relatively small compared to other banks. But my answer is I don't know what is too large or too small of a bank. But what we certainly don't know is that the regulators at the Fed, in many instances, people who, in fairness, probably couldn't get jobs at banks in the first place, why would they know? Again, we are talking about an institution that's been watching over one of its major member banks for quite some time, Citi. And because of its poor oversight of it, it keeps having to bail out Citigroup. And so what's large, what's too small? My answer is I don't know, but I also reject the popular notion that a failure of a bank is cause for panic, that it's cause for intervention. Why are banks somehow unique in the rest of the capitalist system? It's healthy when poorly run institutions fail. Why are banks unique? I've never understood that, and I don't think Fed members and economists have ever properly explained it.
In terms of the specific duties that the Fed needs to perform, at this point, we may be seeing changes. According to Donald Trump, he has a pretty low opinion of the Fed, if we are to believe some of his campaign speeches. What kind of changes would you want to see, or do you just want the Fed to go away?
Oh, well, I think what first needs to be said is I don't think Donald Trump knows one way or the other whether he wants or doesn't want the Fed. That's not a political statement. I just think it's something he doesn't know of what he speaks. And that would describe most presidents. They don't know what the Fed does. And it's the idea that he's going to change it, I think, defies common sense. My sense is that the Fed will continue in its present form. And here's the reason why. It's convenient for politicians and presidents to, every time the U.S. economy is weak, they can say, oh, it's the Fed's fault. The Fed raised interest rates, or the Fed didn't cut rates fast enough. Please. The Fed interacts with the U.S. banking system. U.S. banks are the least dynamic source of credit in all of the U.S. economy. They can't take a lot of risk. They never have been able to, despite what we're told in the media. They represent 15%. That's 15% of total credit in the U.S. economy, and that number is in free fall. The idea then that the Fed's interactions with that which is antiquated and massively overregulated has a real and substantial impact on the most dynamic economy in the world defies basic common sense and logic. And so will the Fed change? It's not going to change. In my perfect world, yet we'd end it because it doesn't really serve any useful purpose. Banks would be fine. They would be much healthier without the Fed. The Fed's a tragically bad regulator. We don't need to set interest rates. I've never been explained the reason for keeping the Fed, but we're not going to end it. Rest assured, Donald Trump's not going to end it or reform it. It will continue. My argument is, who cares? Market forces are rendering the Fed irrelevant.
And I want to emphasize, this is an opinion, and this is something on which economists would debate you. And this is oftentimes a hot topic among economists about how much good the Fed does or doesn't do. But do you think that some of the duties that have been regulated to the Fed, especially things like the watchdog portion, regulating banks, doesn't some government agency need to do that?
Why? The banking system in the U.S. is easily the most regulated in all of our economy. Where was the success? Do you realize that, okay, Citi, a bank that once again has been bailed out five times in the last 25 years, had no less than 60 federal and state watchdogs on its premises back in 2008? Did it save them from the inevitable mistakes?
And I want to emphasize, you keep mentioning 2008 because that was the beginning of the Great Recession. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, and it was. It's viewed as a financial crisis, and some banks failed. Most banks were healthy back then, but some were bailed out by the federal government. I say very incorrectly. I say that weakened the banking system, but banks are already massively overregulated. And these same regulators are always late to the problem. They serve no useful purpose. Let's be clear that if they could see into the future and detect the trouble spots in advance, I'm sorry, they would not be working as regulators. They would be earning billions as investors. Does anyone want to forget how many successful investors did well back in 2008, foreseeing what the regulators were plainly late to seeing? And so if you're good at this, you're not going to work at the Fed or one of the myriad bank regulators. So no,
future,
I don't see the purpose.
Seeing into the future isn't the only thing regulations do. Many of those regulations are set up to protect protect depositors, to protect consumers from misbehavior on the part of the banks. Those are set up oftentimes in FDIC to protect the amount that you've deposited so that your bank can't gamble away what you have sitting in their vaults. Many of those things, it seems to me, there could be an argument the regulators didn't do their job, but isn't that also an argument that maybe we just need to get better regulation?
Okay, well, I want to meet these better regulators, but you just explained why we don't need them. The reality is, all the things that you hope banks don't do were, if we're to believe the accounts of 2008, took place with banks massively overregulated with all sorts of federal and state oversight. Banks did all the things that you don't want. Loans to people who couldn't afford to pay them back. Failures that meant that they needed to be bailed out by government. My answer to this is, who would be a better regulator of a bank, the FDIC or some profit-motivated insurance company? And so think about what that means. If I open up account at Citibank, an insurance company would come to me and say, okay, they've been bailed out lots over the last 25 years. It's going to cost you a fair amount to keep an account there. But if you go to this local bank that doesn't take a lot of risks, it's going to cost you quite a bit less. I'd rather the regulation be market-driven or market-disciplined. But you can agree or disagree with me on that, but what you cannot deny is that banks are the most regulated entity in all of the U.S. economy, and these regulations have achieved nothing when it comes to a sounder financial system.
I thought it was casinos.
I would tend to disagree with that. Again, banks can't take a lot of risk despite what we're told. That's why they're so exposed to housing. Housing, relative to most lending, is fairly low risk. And the reason why is this. If someone walks their mortgage, you've got a house to repossess. But in general, banks can't take low risk, can't take a lot of risk. And that's my argument why the Fed is not terribly relevant to the U.S. economy. The Fed is projecting its influence over the economy over a banking system that's just not that important to real economic activity.
And that's why his book is called Who Needs the Fed? That's John Tamney. He is a financial columnist, and he will be at the Savannah Book Festival this weekend. He'll speak Saturday morning at 9 at Trinity United Methodist Church. John, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.